Church, how are you? I was sick too, and my wife has been sick as well. We are in the days of recovering our health back to normal. And as we all know, Pastor Juan and Nancy are sick, and we are going to take a moment to pray for them. And also to pray for us as a congregation. We all are aware of the virus that's going on around the world, coronavirus. And I know that because of the uniqueness of this church, that might be discouraging to some of us because of the connectedness. So let's pray and let's ask our Lord to continue to give us strength and to give us all that we need to just keep on going. Father, we come to you with a heart of thanksgiving. We give you thanks for all the things that you have been doing and the things that you will continue to do in us and through us. I know it's difficult sometimes to give you thanks for everything, especially when there are things that are not going well. But Lord, that's your commandment. You ask us to pray all the time and to give you thanks. So we lift up our congregation this morning and pray, Father, for encouragement. We pray for strength. We pray, Father, that we all continue to be focused on you, because you are our hope. It's not medicine, it's not any vaccine, it's you. So we pray, Father, that you will touch those who are sick right now around the world. We pray, Father, for those who have lost their dear ones because of this virus. We pray that you will be glorified, and that people will turn their face to you. Father, we also want to lift up Dr. Juan and Nancy and pray in the name of Jesus that you will heal them, that they will recover their health completely. Give them strength, Father, and pray that by this week and next Sunday, they should be ready to just keep on going. Thank you once again, because we can trust in you and know that you are listening to our prayers. In Jesus' name, we pray this morning. Amen and amen. So this morning, the title of our sermon falls into what is known as the spiritual disciplines. Prayer comes to the top of what we know spiritual disciplines as fasting, for example, or solitude, going outside and just contemplate God's creation and be in contact with the Lord. Those are spiritual disciplines, we call it. But prayer is at the top. It's the number one call, I believe, strongly believe, that we have as a church. And Paul tells us a little bit about his discipline in prayer. So this morning I want us to focus on these six or seven verses that revealed this area in which Paul, because of his example, can teach us the importance of prayer. And let me begin just to mention to all of you that this is our missions here statement. How many of you know the statement by memory? I'm going to take it out. Okay, I'll be merciful today. Our mission at GICF is to glorify God by connecting people to God and one another, growing as authentic followers of Jesus Christ, impacting our community locally and globally. That's a quite mission statement. That's a great statement because it's inclusive, it's exclusive, it's everything. It's cross-culturally focused, and the connections and all that are just great. But let me just say this one thing here. In all these years of ministry, I've visited hundreds of churches, and I've seen a lot of statements, both vision and mission statements, and the way churches, locally speaking, work their way how to, first of all, grasp their calling in a local environment, specific place, and secondly, how to implement that. And all of them, most of them, if not all of them, have come up with this statement that I'm going to make right now. All that we write and all that we say we're going to do is not going to work. It's not going to happen unless we are praying first. I don't know if you agree with that or disagree. But I think that prayer gives a complete different and deep direction to where we are and where are we going. So what are the ingredients that Paul tells us here in these verses that we need to take care of or notice? Verses 3 and 4, chapter 1 of Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. There are some things that I want you to notice here. First of all, Paul begins by saying, I'm a guy who always gives thanks. I was just praying just a few minutes ago, and it's difficult to give thanks to God when things are going bad. We're not making it. When we are being discouraged by circumstances and all that, it's not that fun to come and say, oh, thank you for what's going on right now in my life. So he begins with this, and he said, not only that he gives thanks, but he does it how many times? When he remembers, he said, every time I remember you in my prayers. That tells us that Paul's prayer was constantly being exercised. I don't know about your prayer life, and sometimes I need to confess, because I'm not there yet where God wants me to be in terms of being a prayer warrior. I need to go back and double check every day and every week and every month, how am I doing in terms of this important discipline? Is it constant or I'm fading away and we're forgetting, or I just became cynical and know that God knows everything, and why bother? Why prayer? There's another ingredient in verse 4, and that has to do with something that we sometimes don't pay attention to it. But we need to pray with joy. How many of you, especially young people who are here, have heard this statement before? Oh, I'm not going to a prayer meeting because it's boring. I've heard before that. And have you ever asked yourself why a prayer meeting It's boring. Because let me propose this to you. We are not exercising joy when we come to the Lord and saying, Lord, thank you for whatever is going on in my life right now. And that piece of information that Paul is giving us in terms of prayer is very important. Rick Warren, for example, defines joy as the subtle assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation, regardless of what's going on. I have the assurance, I have the confidence, and I'm determined. The assurance that God is in control, the assurance that it's going to be all right, or confidence, and then the determination that I will praise Him regardless. That is joy. Joy is not happiness. We seek for happiness. Happiness is permeated by the things that happens around us. If Billy gave me $1 million today, I will be happy. Or if I get a gift or car, a new car, I'm happy. But that will not give me joy. Joy, it's in the heart and in your inner self. It's something that you experience as you get into intimate relationship with the Lord. And there is a third ingredient here. It's a genuine exercise or discipline. Because of your partnership, Paul is telling the Philippians. We all know how this church began. Lydia was an entrepreneur woman. She had a business. And since there were not enough men in that town in Philippi, there was no synagogue there. But they were praying at the river. And every time a missionary or rabbi was going or passing by, he was invited to proclaim the word. That which took place at Philippi. And from there on, the church of Philippi was born. Acts chapter 16 and 17. And from that point on, they became partners. I like this word. Partners. They partake all that they had in common. And it was a genuine partnership. Let me share with you this definition. Partnership, it is a form of business where two or more people share ownership as well as the responsibility for managing the company and the income or losses the business generates. This is a well-known magazine by Entrepreneur Media Inc. And I like the way they defined partnership because the word ownership there, it's not brought by, you know, just by, because we want to include this word in here. It has some meaning because we do not only need leadership, but we also need ownership. When we all own what God is doing here locally, then partnership is taking place. In other words, this is not only my church, but I have energy, I have talents, I have gifts, I have all this that God has given me in order for me to put this out there and bless the church and edify the church as well as to glorify God in all that we do, in all that we say. I like the mission statement of GICF and how we started. We are here to glorify God in all that we do and all that we say. So in talking about this partnership here, it's very important because you and I are part of this. If we take this definition literally and translate it into our church's thing that we do, if it's in, right on, because this is the business of God. What we do here as church, this is God's business, and we are His co-workers. We are His servants, and He is the chief commander of this local body here. And I think that we all need to look at this prayer thing, this discipline of prayer, as partners. Have you been praying? Have you been praying for you? Have you been praying for our church? And there is also another ingredient here, and it's that of looking at the whole picture. When we are partners, we all need to see the beginning and the end. And Paul says in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who begun the good work in you will carry on to completion until when? Till the day of Christ Jesus. It has eschatological implications. It has to do with the future. You know, if we are here, first of all, and most of all, is because it's God's will that we are here. And if we are here, it's because He has a purpose that He wants to fulfill in us and through us here. And as partner in this business, I need to look at the whole picture. I know that there are a lot of things in which I need to grow personally. And one area in which I need to grow, and I don't know about you, is the area of prayer. We need to become a prayer church. A church that always pray. And pray first. Before we do anything. Before we preach, before we teach, everything needs to be permeated through prayer. And we need to look at the whole picture. God is at work in each one of us. Some of us are a little bit more mature, others a little bit less, but we are all in this spiritual journey to become like Christ. And prayer is a must when we need to grow. And let me just share with you a few pictures. This is one of my coming home from, I think I was coming from Nicaragua. Not the recent trip that I took. Thank you for having my son, by the way. I've heard good comments about his preaching, and thank you. But this is one different trip. What did you see there? This is the plane. My window should be through here, my window. That's where I was. And I took a picture, and what is this? This is Abraham Lincoln Monument. You can see it very nice from the top. That's another picture. This is George Washington Monument. And the reason why I'm sharing this picture is because when we have the whole picture, we need to rise and go up. And we need to look for the altitude. Because that's the only way that we're going to be able to see the whole picture. All that we do here, all the connections that we're talking about, the growing, the authenticity, all that. That's not me, by the way. Somebody asked me about this guy here. That's not me, but that's a boy, a picture that I found in the internet. And it was quite interesting, but because you don't have to go in an airplane to see the whole city, but you can go to a place, the highest place, the highest mountain around the city, and just look at the city and pray over the city. And you know, that goes along with what Jesus used to do when he came at the Mount of Olives and he prayed for the city. So where am I going with this? That partnership not only help us to see that we are all in this race and that we are in need to continually growing in the Lord, but also growing in love. Regardless of who I am, or what I do, or what I say, there is a commandment. Regardless of what your social status or cultural background, there is a commandment here. And Paul says in these verses right here, he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we might be able to discern. Folks, Christian life is about discernment. It's about walking this spiritual journey, discerning what's going on in my life and what's going on around my life. What is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Why we are here? To glorify God. And so what we need to do? Give thanks to God. What else do we need? To know that we need to approach prayer with great joy regardless of the circumstances. What else do we need? Well, we know that we are partners. And as partners, we need to continue to see the whole picture. God is not done with us. He's at work. And you and I are part of this work, this wonderful work God is doing here, and he will continue to do. So let me, I think I already shared this picture with you. But I believe that the greatest commandment ever given to the church was to love God and to love your neighbor. Do you agree with me with it? I mean, we need to know this. And sometimes when we love God so much, and we have a tendency to become too spiritual, that we forget about people. But the other way, it's also true. Loving our neighbor more than God, we become a social agency. And we are not a social agency. We are the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so both need to work together. They both go hand by hand. And the most important thing is that if we grow vertically, horizontally, the growth will take place as well. And the growth will be exponential. I love this picture because this is one way, not the only way, but one way to measure how much I'm loving God and how much I'm loving my neighbor. Are you with me? So let me conclude then here. How can I grow then? What can I do? What are the things that I need to take away? What are the things that I need to learn? And maybe you've heard this already. And that's good to remind you again about this basic stuff. Just because it is basic, that does not mean that it's not deep. Remember, sometimes simple things and basic things are more important than those things in which we get complicated. Maybe because of my personality, but I'm a simple man. What you see here is what you get. I try to avoid complexity. Because when things get complicated, I get frustrated. But when things are basic and simple, I can get deeper in my relationship with the Lord and with others, beginning with Ivania. And my wife knows this. Very simple, man. I try not to be complicated. So let's start with this first one. How can we do this? How can we become partners? How can we experience joy and love and discerning and being constantly in prayer? Well, embrace the discipline of prayer by changing my attitude toward prayer. Prayer is our first work. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw the webpage, GICF webpage, and we're going to have a prayer evening next week. Collectively, as a church, we're going to be praying for 7 through 8:30 tonight. When I say change my attitude, is that if you are boring when you pray, is because you're not discerning the circumstances in you and around you. Because joy and love and partnership and ownership shall and must permeate the discipline of prayer. And I'll tell you the truth. It's time for me to confess. I need to do it as well. Not because I'm a pastor. Don't ever think that pastor has more power and more access to the Lord's presence because I'm a pastor. That's a lie. I'm a human being just like you. I have my strength and I have my weaknesses. And I need to be aware of my weaknesses. So attitude is important and we need to change our attitude toward prayer. If prayer for you is boring, you need to change that mentality. If prayer for you it's a burden, you need to change that. If prayer for you it's a discipline in which you need to do things like if you are in a boot camp, you need to change that attitude. Prayer, it's a time to talk with Jesus. And tell him, Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I was a sinner, I was a wretch, man. I was completely separated from you, but you came and you made it possible for me to have this intimate relationship with God. Because you died for me. It's a time to talk with Jesus. So the second thing I want to leave to you is identifying through the discipline of prayer the personal strongholds. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know that by the time you became to know Jesus as your personal Savior, you came into a spiritual warfare as well, if you don't know this fact, you've been defeated already. Let me say it again. If you don't know that when the time you came to know Jesus personally, you also came into a spiritual warfare, you have already been defeated. That's a strong thing to say. You know why? Because the enemy doesn't stop. Our flesh will always desire what we want. And the world will always offer us other options. Instead of going to a prayer service, why don't we go to the theater and have fun? Let's go to the bowling and have fun. Let's go to eat, or let's go to do whatever we want to do. That's the alternatives that the enemy and the world present to us. So that's why we need to identify what are the strongholds that I need to overthrow. What are the battles that I need to pick up and fight a good fight? We all have strongholds, and strongholds are pattern of behavior that were formed when we were little, when we were children. And we need to identify those patterns and those behaviors. In other words, I'm talking about bad habits in our own personal life. There are a lot of bad habits that will hinder our relationship with the Lord. And let me just finish with this one. The last one. How can we grow? Seeking spiritual renewing through the discipline of prayer. Every time we pray, you know, how many of you are familiar with evangelism explosion? There are a few people here that are familiar with it. And this ministry or program, an evangelistic, Dr. Kennedy, who was the founder, we were taught, if you remember this, we were taught that we need to have a personal renewal by writing a list of things, bad habits, sins that we have committed through the day. And when I did that exercise the first time, went through evangelism explosion, I was amazed. So I thought I didn't have a long list. But the time that I finished, it was quite long. I was ashamed of myself. And the second thing they asked us to do is to take that list and burn it, confessing that our Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. And they asked us to read out loud 1 John 1:9-2:1 and 2. If we have sinned, we have an intercessor. So, and he will cleanse us from all weaknesses and sin. Renewing our minds, renewing our spirit, renewing ourselves. Every time we come to pray, do me a favor. Don't come asking God what you want. Come giving thanks to God for what He is doing in me and through me. Come with an attitude of submitting ourselves and humble ourselves to Him. so that He will lift us when the time comes. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. As we conclude this morning, we give you thanks and we praise your name and we glorify you in all the things that you have taught us this morning. If there is one thing in my personal walking with you that I need to change, Lord, reveal that to me through your word and reveal that to me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, and if it is the same thing with my brothers and sisters here, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will reveal to them in their own spiritual walk where is it that they need to grow and what are the strongholds that they need to fight against and what are the things that they need to change in their formation, social, intellectual formation, so that we may become more spiritual people, more ingrained in your word and in discerning what is it that you want us to do here at this time, in this location, in this church. And Father, we confess that we have not been praying the way you want us to pray. And we confess that we have had a distortion or bad way of thinking about prayer, or when prayer, it's actually our first call. So we surrender ourselves again and ask your forgiveness and ask you, Father, to help us and to give us strength so that we may become the church that always prays. In Jesus' name. Amen.